This is Tech Talk for Accountants Show, where we discuss the hottest topics, tools, apps, and trends in the accounting industry. This show is sponsored by Rush Tech Support, who is offering all listeners of the show a free IT audit so you can know whether or not your business is at risk of being hacked, having a data breach, or getting fined hundreds of thousands of dollars for non-compliance. You can schedule a free check at rushtech.online/podcast.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Tech Talk for Accountants show. And I'm your host, Andrew Lassise, with RightWorks, IT specializing in the accounting industry. And reminder, May 14th through 16th in Austin, Texas, I will be speaking at the Right Now conference. There's some other headliners there. If you've heard of Kevin O'Leary, Mr. Wonderful from Shark Tank, Dr. Radhika Dirks, an AI advisor, entrepreneur, plenty of other great people from the RightWorks team, Darren Root, Roman Kepchick, and plenty of others. So be sure to check that out. May 14th through 16th, Austin, Texas, the Right Now conference. And with us today, so side plug aside, so Lucas Sundahl, and he is the founder of Accounting Couture. And today we're going to be digging into the accounting profession for people that are looking to get into it, whether you're a student looking to get into it, what path to take, or you're in a career where you're looking into other alternatives and maybe accounting is one of the ones that you're looking into. So Lucas, thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Looking forward to this.
So give everyone a little background on yourself and sort of like what got you up to this point, you know?
Yes. So my background is somewhat unique, especially for the accounting space. I initially was a kinesiology major. So I went through, graduated with a kinesiology degree from Kansas State University. And I was a personal trainer full-time for a few years. And through that process, I got connected with people in various industries. And one thing I realized was like, okay, if I'm going to keep training, I'm going to have to either like work mornings all the time, evenings, and it's just not really conducive for like family activities and whatnot. So I started a part-time job with an investment company, kind of got my feet wet, got some experience in accounting and finance. And then from there, I went back to school, got an MBA in finance first, applied for jobs. A lot of these jobs were like, oh, by the way, you need to have a bachelor's degree in accounting and finance. I was like, okay, well, I'll do that. So then I went back to get an undergrad degree in accounting. And then from there, I started applying for jobs. I had obviously the education background at that point. And so from there, I got different jobs, senior accountant, and kind of moved up to accounting manager, controller. And so now I've had a few different accounting leadership positions, and I've been in the staffing industry, manufacturing, government contracting. So I've worked in a lot of different spaces. So I've got a good background in a few industries. And one thing I love to do is continue learning. So throughout this process of not only learning these industries, I've picked up some new like accounting software and tools to make myself a more effective accounting leader.
And I mean, on the topic, you know, technology and tools, what are some of the ones that you've picked up and grown fancy towards in the recent? We'll have to bring it back around because these are those sidetrack rabbit holes where it's like,
That's a good. Yeah. So obviously, like from my very beginning, even now, I still use a lot of Excel, like a lot of pivot tables, formula driven things for data manipulation. From there, I also use like Microsoft Power BI, so like the Microsoft suite of tools. And then in addition to that, I've come across some other things, that some tools that connect into QuickBooks Online, Microsoft Dynamics. So I've used a few different tools there for like reporting, building out dashboards. So anything that is connected to those platforms. There's one I've found recently and just starting to kind of tap into. The company's FinOptimal, but it's like an accruing tool. So basically in there, like you can put like your prepaid expenses and assets and stuff, and then use the software to track like the depreciation expense or use of the asset over time versus tracking it all in Excel. So those are some of the main ones I've used recently. I'm always searching for new tools. Oh, another one I've used that's really helpful is LiveFlow. So it connects directly into QuickBooks Online. It allows you to pull reports, and you can do data manipulation in real time versus having to like go back in QuickBooks, run a report, refresh the data. So those are some of the most recent tools I've used.
And if anyone's going back and listening to old episodes with Jesse Rubenfield from FinOptimal and Anita, I think Quaver, it's her last name, from LiveFlow, we've actually gone into those tools in the past. Yeah, LiveFlow, they have the best swag at conferences. I've got this mouse pad here with a Google Sheet shortcuts guy.
Yeah,
like they know how to do it. So anyway, so on topic, your path wasn't just the, well, I went to school for accounting and I got my degree and here we are, and sort of like following the path that a lot of people do, right? Where it's like, okay, and I worked in public accounting and then, you know, discovered that I did like this, didn't like that, and all these different things. But you're just like, hey, let's dig in, sort of coming in sideways. But it's a really interesting profession because there's so many different avenues you can take. And it's definitely very misunderstood from like the outside perspective, like people not in accounting. Like we're recording April 1st and it was like, okay, like you're the kind that don't do taxes, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Because I know most people are like really busy right now. But so the sort of when we're looking at sort of the different designations, and if we're looking at like a CMA versus a CPA, could you kind of dig into like which area, say like you're a student thinking about going into accounting, where should they start?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I feel like if you're a student like going into accounting, like if you're in high school or even if you're into college and beginning your program, what I found, and if I had done accounting from the very beginning, I would have done both the CMA and CPA. From the IMA itself, they have like a calendar of a way to basically get the information you need and take the CMA, both part one and part two, while you're still in college. Obviously, you have to have like work experience to get fully credentialed outside of college, but you could knock out the exams while you're still in college, you're learning all that source material. And then from there, you could go right into after graduation or even like the last semester or two preparing for that first exam part from the CPA, whichever one you pick of the four. And you could knock out the CMA while still in college and be well prepared to jump right into the CPA right after graduation. And what I've come across is if you go work in public accounting, yes, it's awesome to have a CPA, but why not have your CMA also? So if you're working with clients, they come to your firm like, hey, we need somebody that has like a CPA, obviously, for this piece, but are there any other people on your staff that can help us with some other projects? And if you have both CMA and CPA, I just feel like it makes you more marketable, not only in public accounting, but just like in the industry as well.
Yeah. And there's a lot to learn and a lot to unpack, but sort of following the here is the path and to be able to come out with both, especially when you're in school already, it's like, well, you might as well come out with something more than just the same degree that all of your other peers have and how you differentiate yourself. And that's something that's really important. Like I kind of look at your resume, especially when you're younger, it's more just like, it's more just marketing material for yourself to get your job. Right. Yeah. Like I went to Salisbury University in Maryland and nobody's ever heard of it unless you're from Maryland. And it's like, oh yeah, it's like, you know, it's not College Park, but like, it's really close and like, you know, kind of neck and neck with Towson, but like, that's the Maryland conversation. But the other 49 states are like, oh, Salisbury, like the steak. So it's like, you know, in Maryland, it's like, it'll work there. But, and you know, that was almost 20 years ago now, but it's like going into the workforce, nobody was like, oh, wow, look at what you accomplished. Meanwhile, my buddy, Jerry, he did undergrad at Duke and graduated from Harvard. Not knowing anything about either of us, right? Like, who do you think is going to get like any job ever that's like kind of relevant, right? So
that's a good point.
Really is like the marketing material that differentiates you. And, you know, the continuing education, like right now, I went back to school. I'm taking courses at MIT, which like sounds better than like, oh, Salisbury steak, right? But yeah, low key brag. But like the continuing education piece, not only for like compliance requirements, but it's essential for the accounting profession? I mean, just imagine if you were like, all right, it's 2019 and I'm done learning, and then CARES Act and everything else that's come in the last 4 years, like you have to stay on top of it. It isn't just like learned it and now I'm good to go. Like, I mean, I'm sure every industry's got like, oh yeah, it's changing so much, but I'd imagine like contractors, maybe like there's different requirements for like permits and building code and stuff, but it's still like you're kind of building the same thing versus something like accounting where it's like, I remember my first day in, it was like accounting 102 or 201, something like that in college. And we got our books and our professor was like, these books are already obsolete. They changed the standard deduction. So all of your pages are completely wrong. It's day one. And it's where it hit me. I was like, oh, this is something that's really always going to be changing. So how do you stay on top of like the industry trends and new developments just yourself?
That's a great question. So for me, I'm a CMA, a certified management accountant. So through the IMA, the Institute of Management Accountants, they have, you have to be a member to keep your CMA active. And through that membership, they have like webinars that are typically over the lunch hour if you're US based, and you can knock out hour of CPE over the lunch hour. They have various topics, like some of it's updates on like finance, technology, accounting, whatnot, like changes in like accounting structure or codifications. And then some of it's just on general leadership and whatnot. So that's a way you can get those hour CPE throughout the year. There's also courses that they offer themselves. Another great resource is the Journal of Accountancy. Even if you're not like a CPA, like because I'm not the AI CPA, they still have a ton of resources on their website. So there's a lot of different places you can go to get updates on accounting information. And also like through LinkedIn, people on that platform share a lot about changes in the industry, major updates. You could even follow on Twitter or X, the FASB, all these like accounting organizations, and like stay up to date on like what's already become, like what's already passed and like is now going to be a new accounting standard, or things that are being voted on, proposals. I've even joined some webinars through PwC. They have some like quarterly webinars for them as well. So you can get CPE and get updates on changes in the accounting world. So there's a lot of different places to go. Some of these even software companies will host their own webinar where you can get CPE, but also learn to see like, hey, does this tool make sense for our company to utilize? Can we use this to make our close process faster? That type of thing.
Yeah, that's one of the things we explore a lot on the show, is just the different apps and different ways that you can, you know, basically run a better firm. And not all of it is just strictly if you're in the accounting profession, but something, for instance, like LiveFlow, like, yes, it's going to be very helpful for accountants, especially when you've got tons of different clients and being able to get the information onto a spreadsheet. But just for, if you were just a business owner and wanting to have that updated for you, like I believe that was her background, was like, I just need this to exist, and it doesn't exist, so let's create it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, a lot of these things come out of need. So yeah, like right? Accountants or other people, like people in the IT space or whatever, they're like, hey, like let's make this happen. They find out like what the problem is for an industry or a specific company, and then they, like you said, they work on a way to make it happen, to expedite the close process or make it more efficient.
And a lot of stuff I feel is sort of status quo. This is how we've always done it.
And oh yeah. That phrase. Oh man.
Yeah. Like, I mean, we're in tech, which is rapidly evolving. And, you know, we just got, so we were acquired from RightWorks now 5 months ago. And we're still going through the integration process of like mapping out, like, this is how Tech for Accountants did it, this is how RightWorks does it, and mapping the processes so it all meshes together really well. And they hired a new leader in the sales department. And so he's working, well, I mean, he runs the sales department. And so I'm working hand in hand with him. And he's like, okay, like, let me understand this. I'm like, okay, here's how it goes. Like I built this company over the last decade. So like, I literally know everything about everything and how everything interacts. Like you pull this lever and like, here's the 30 other things that spin as a result of it. But just last week, he was like, all right, walk me through the billing process. It's like, okay, like you go here, you create an invoice, you add the monthly recurring revenue here, and then you go over onto this module and you create a subscription. And then when you do that afterwards, then you take the information from that and then you copy paste it and put it over here. And then everything just magically works. He's like, you can't combine steps 1 through 3. And I'm like, no. He's like, are you sure? I was like, I mean, it's just how we've always done it. And then like we look into it and it's like, oh man, this would have saved us like hours and hours and clerical errors and all this stuff where it was just like, we just did it that way because that's how we always did it. And so often things are just like, if it's not on fire, there's so many other fires to put out that like take priority over things that are like, oh, I just never took a step back and asked, why do we do it this way? And I think there's one of those like self-help examples where it's like, there's a dog that's sitting down. He's just like gently moaning. And the guy says to the owner, he's like, why is your dog moaning? He's like, oh, he's sitting on a nail. And he's like, why doesn't he move? He's like, it doesn't hurt that bad. Right. It's kind of, you know, we'll just be sitting on it. He's like, yeah, yeah, that's just sort of what we do, how we do it. And so like, you know, innovation comes out of the necessity for change. And for some people, it's a bigger push than others, but it's easy to get stuck in the, well, it's how we always did it. I mean, look at you. You're sure. Like, yeah, this is how I've dedicated my life to always doing it. Well, let's just, you know, pull like a Zach Morris from Saved by the Bell. It's like, whoa, time out. Like,
yeah, honestly, yeah.
Days and evenings. Like, I need a different profession.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point. Yeah, that is like, yeah, the old Zach Morris, Saved by the Bell, time out. It's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, just sort of like breaking down the fourth wall and like having a conversation with yourself that like, this isn't what I want to be doing. But you know, we get that momentum and it's just like, that had to have been a huge decision for you because you had dedicated so much time and energy. And then to take a step back and be like, this isn't what I want. And then to do something about it. Most people don't get the awareness to begin with, but then having like the courage to take action and say like back to the drawing board, starting everything over. And I have some of my own experiences like that in life, but it is so much easier said than done with gigantic change like that. Like, you know, if you were like,
oh, for sure.
If you're like the protagonist in a story, right? And it was like, Lucas realized he didn't want to keep doing that. And so he did something different. It'd be like, this is such an obvious book, but like the way it plays out in everyone else's life is like, they realized they didn't like the trajectory they were on, but kept doing it for the rest of their life.
Yeah. And the story just ends there. Yeah.
Nothing changes. Status quo. He was sitting on a nail and now he's dead.
Yeah.
So for people that were in the position that you were in, so we discussed if you're a student, which way to come into it when you're blank slate and there isn't momentum and years put into one particular path. So if someone's looking to come in a different stage in their professional career, what would you advise them to do?
Yeah, another good question. So for me, I switched careers and then I worked briefly for a CPA firm and it kind of gave me like a glimpse into that part of the accounting world. And then I got from there, I went on to work for a manufacturing company and the manufacturing was heavily like focused on like the materials I was studying for the CMA were very relevant for that type of world. And so I just decided like for me, like, where I want to go long-term, it made more sense to do the CMA, but I feel like it just depends on the person like what they want to do for their career. So if you're changing your career later to accounting and you feel like you want to be more like industry focused and work for a company as like a senior accountant, accounting manager, controller, and move up that way, I think the CMA is a great route to go depending on what kind of things, because the CMA tests on not only the general accounting knowledge, but also focuses a little bit of on strategy within the exam itself. And so that's very useful for, like, as you move up in the leadership things, to not only do the accounting, have a purview of that, but also need to do budgeting, forecasting, FP&A, starting to be more of a strategic partner. And then the CPA, yes, you can do that, but I feel like that is geared towards, like, if you change you changed into accounting later in your career and want to go the CPA route, then you can do, like, either auditor tax or maybe join the client advisory services. So then you start offering clients, like, fractional, like, help with, like, bookkeeping, fractional controllership, fractional CFO work from within the purview or within the CPA company itself. So I feel like it mainly depends on which is more attractive to you, and, like, which you want to go. So whether you want to do, like, the CMA route or the CPA route. And obviously there's other credentials too. It just kind of depends on what you truly want, you're most interested in. So you obviously want to study for things that you're interested in and want to pursue and do. So, like, if you want to become a fraud examiner, then yes, the CFE, certified fraud examiner, is most relevant. So if, again, I'll wrap up with saying, like, in this question, it ultimately comes down to what interests you the most and what motivates you, like, to get out of bed each day. Like, I feel like the CMA would be more my speed, or the CPA, or whatever credential it is. Just do take the time out, like you said, with Zach Morris, Saved by the Bell, and truly evaluate kind of where you want to go, not only in the next 6 months to a year, but even picture your career, like, 3 years out, 5 years out. Which credential do you feel like will be the most beneficial for your growth?
And speaking of the 3 years out, 5 years out, so, I mean, everything's really started changing, especially in the last 2-3 years. I mean, AI hitting the scene, I mean, that has completely changed. It's funny because it's existed all this time, but now that it's in people's hands, I always say it's sort of like, right now we're in, like, 1996, like, talking about what the internet means.
Yeah. Yes.
Right? Like, that's kind of where we are. It's like, it existed 20 years before that, but Netscape, like, putting it in people's hands, Mosaic, like, oh, that's what the internet thing is. And right now it's like,
yeah.
Oh, all those apps saying we use AI. Oh, now I get it. So where do you kind of see the future of the profession going with, I mean, technology? Just, I have my own views on it for just, like, it's a tool and you're going to be more powerful with a better tool, but still, it's like screwdriver versus a drill. It's like, yeah, yes, you're going to be better, but, like, doesn't take away the fact that someone still has to use it. That's my view on it. Where are you at on this speculation?
So for me, AI is an incredible tool. I feel like it's going to free up accountants to move into that higher level of thinking more strategically. So no matter what your accounting background is or what credential or license you have, AI is going to help you move from, like, okay, I have to code these transactions. No, that's going to be done for you. So then you start thinking about, like, okay, like, what does our spend look like this next quarter, 6 months to a year? And you start working. I mean, it doesn't matter, like, what level in accounting you are, what in a department, you'll help the CFO, accounting manager, controllers. You'll start talking about decisions, like, and especially if you're at a smaller firm, you're going to probably wear a lot of hats. You'll probably do, like, a little bit of financial planning and analysis and also do some accounting functions. So AI is just going to be a useful tool to help you get your data quicker. So the close will be faster. You'll be much more efficient. And then you'll be able to make decisions and help support decisions in a quicker manner. So, like, again, like, planning out for the next year, budgets, forecasts will be a lot easier. And then from, if you're, like, a higher level, like, if you're a CFO or in the C-suite, or even, like, a divisional controller for large firms, you're going to be able to, it'll help you, AI will help you not only understand, like, the finance function, but you'll be able to utilize it to understand, like, okay, like, I know the finance piece, but what does it look like for us operationally? What are the trends with sales? What do we need to do here? AI will help with decision-making to, do we open up a new plant? What does that look like? Do we need to outsource some information? And you can just run these scenarios, which people have done for years now, but AI will just allow you to run these scenarios and analysis much quicker than in the past. So before it was a lot of Excel manipulation, run some reports, kind of analyze, but now you can upload large data sets and help you make decisions in a much faster manner. So I think that's what AI is going to do. I don't think it's going to displace accountants at all. I think it will take away from people that are just doing like accounts payable, accounts receivable, just data manipulation, data entering. Those things will go away. But there's going to be a demand for planning, analysis, taking the accounting data and making meaningful decisions from that type of thing. So it's just going to shift everybody to like a higher level of thinking that some firms are already there and a lot of firms are not there yet.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's kind of like that doom and gloom. Oh, it's going to take away jobs and look, it can do what I usually take so much time to do. But I mean, we've seen this all the time with disruptive technology where it's like, oh, calculator. It's like now everyone can do everything. And oh, TurboTax, everyone's going to be doing their own taxes and they don't. And now QuickBooks has like the $50 a month bookkeeping. It's going to take away. And it's going to take away the people that are the ones that appeals to. So, okay, maybe you don't get as many clients that wish they could do it themselves who are not going to be your best clients. They're going to be the headache ones that complain about everything, that take up a ton of your time, sort of the McDonald's of clients where it's like, yes, it exists, but it's not ideal and we're not able to provide the most value that we possibly can. But taking it like a step beyond the compliance piece and being able to analyze the numbers, ask questions about them, and really understand. And I mean, I don't claim to be a, you know, accountant by any stretch, but like I know a thing or two with my financial planning degree from Salisbury University. Yeah. For 15. But I do have, I was a member of the IMA, you know, to put it on my resume to get jobs. Yeah. But yeah, graduating during the recession with a financial planning degree doesn't pan out well. Spoiler alert. And then pivot to tech. Everything works out. Actually pivoted to restaurants. That didn't work out. Then pivoted to tech. But being able to ask the right questions and use the information that's in front of you and be able to not just a generic, like, okay, I uploaded my P&L, like, tell me about my company. It's like, okay, it can point out some things, it's something to look at. You could tell it, like, prompt it, say, like, ask me 10 questions about this. And like 8 of them are trash and 2 of them are like, oh, these are decent. But like, you need to know what you're looking for. And just throwing in a chunk of raw data and saying, do work for me, at least right now, like, we're not there yet. You still have to understand the fundamentals and what's going on. Like, for instance, one of the guys who works for me, I have like 15 years of computer programming background, and then AI just completely changed everything. But I have a huge foundation and understand how all the stuff works. And he's never done it ever. And we needed code for some of the things we do in work. And so he's putting together like actual programs and he'll get hung up on stuff. It's like, I can't figure out how to get this. And I'm putting in a ChatGPT and I just can't figure out, could you help me? And I'm like, this is like 101 foundation stuff. And like all this stuff you did here, like, yeah, that's going to get you the right answer. But like, there's something called a for loop that like, you could have done all that in 3 lines of code that ChatGPT, they took what you wanted to accomplish, but in the context of what you asked them, now it's not scalable. Now you're going to run into, so understanding the foundations of what's going on. So yes, in micro instances, you probably can get some of the things that you're looking for within some degree of certainty. Can you project my cash flow given these numbers? Maybe it can, maybe it can't. Like, there's software that's already been doing this for years, but understanding what any of it means in decision-making process and having someone that really knows what's going on, there's only so much the tools can do. You know, they're extremely powerful, but just because TurboTax can do a return doesn't make me someone that's going to do their own taxes. Plus, I don't feel like doing it, so I'm going to pay someone to do it, even right? Like, there's a TV. We got a new TV in our bedroom, and so we took down the old one, and like, I am physically capable of hanging TVs, and like, you could get the information on YouTube. There's a million videos on how to do it. I just don't feel like it. And I know I'm going to make some stupid little mistake that's going to blow up, and I'd just rather hire a professional. That will always exist for everything. Going to hire a professional, right? Like, it's pretty rare that just something comes along and now that doesn't exist. So the doom and gloom, I mean, we'll see. I could be completely wrong, you know? We'll look back on this 5 years later and be like, remember when Andrew said it was just a tool?
Yeah, it just was a tool. Everything changed after that.
Yeah. So segue off the conversation, but if anyone follows Lucas on LinkedIn, he's probably my favorite person that I follow. The accounting couture, so you've got like daily jokes. You've got the, the memes. You've got like, it's like a consistent, like, kudos, like, I'll laugh out loud at like a decent chunk of them. Most of the time you're scrolling, it's like, oh, like when a client says it's April 14th, can you do my taxes? And it's like people laughing meme, like they're better than those. Where's your inspiration come from? You just a funny dude?
Well, yeah, it's kind of funny. So I thought about this the other day, just thinking about this, like when I scheduled the interview with you, I was thinking back through. So people that know me, like especially have known me for a long time, if sometimes at work, if I am new to a company, they may not, I'm not necessarily shy, but I'm like more like kind of analyzing, okay, what's the culture here? What's the environment? Once people get to know me, I'm more like open. I consider myself, I have a pretty good sense of humor. When I was in high school, I did sports, I did choir. And then at the end of every year, they had a thing called the variety show. And so it would be people that could, like, obviously were very talented singing. They would sing, people would do like piano. But me and my friends, we would like recreate, some of it, like we just made up ourselves. Like we made our own like SNL type skits to make the audience laugh. And then sometimes like we would take like SNL, we'd be SNL inspiration and then make it our own and create skits just to like make the audience laugh. And so basically where I'm at current day, it started basically back in the pandemic, the early days, my wife and I were at home. Obviously, like I was working from home, the kids were at home and my son was doing school. But through that time, we had extra downtime, especially like in the mornings, didn't have to commute. So I would watch things on TikTok. I was like, this is a fun platform. And there's the dance trends. And I'm like, how could I tie in accounting to this? And there was people that had done some accounting videos and whatnot, but I was like, there's gotta be something more. So over time, I just started coming up with ideas to like ways to promote the accounting profession. And also through that time, I was thinking about like, I had seen somebody, I passed my CMA exam and like they had these shirts you can get to like celebrate general accounting shirts. And there's some cool ones out there, but I was like, nah, there's gotta be something better. So I found a YouTube video where it like took you from beginning to end. And I found a way to create t-shirts, design them in Canva, use Printify and sell it through Etsy. And so from there, I started designing shirts and wearing the same shirts in these videos. And I just wanted to like, not only make people laugh that were in accounting, but maybe stir some intellectual curiosity. So some of these videos, there are like, there's a little bit of learning involved too, like the proverbial edutainment. I want people to learn about accounting things that may not know them. So they see a video, it could be kind of funny, but if you understand the accounting behind it, it makes it that much funnier. And so people could even talk to their friends and through this process, watch a video, learn a little bit about accounting at the same time. And I just want to showcase like the fun side of accounting, obviously on these platforms, especially LinkedIn. There's so many knowledgeable people out there, people that have more experience than I have and whatnot. So I was like, what is a way to differentiate myself? So for me, that's using humor. That's who I am as a person. I enjoy like comedy movies, telling jokes and whatnot. So I've figured that's a way to differentiate myself from other creators and other people on the platform. and still share, yes, like I love accounting. I'm still knowledgeable about the subject through like becoming a CMA, taking continuing education courses. But I just want to show people that accounting is not all boring, number crunching behind a screen. If you, there's some people I've met through LinkedIn and podcasts and different things that if you knew them outside of accounting, you'd be like, wow, this is really cool. So it just goes to show that profession, there's a lot of different growth paths. It's not just the proverbial like audit and tax right out of your 4-year college. There's so many different paths you can take. You can start that way and go. So that's basically what it's coming to nowadays, is just trying to showcase that accounting can be a lot of fun. You don't have to be pigeonholed into one type of career for 20, 30, 40 years. You can change as you go and whatnot. So that's my biggest thing, is I want people to take pride in the profession, maybe wear a hat or a shirt that I've created. Either way, I just want to bring a smile to their face. And maybe especially now with this first wave of tax season, maybe some of these jokes will kind of like reduce some of their stress levels.
Yeah. Or they'll just be like, stuck. Yeah. I'm stuck scrolling. I should be working. And just like a quick hit of dopamine, and then like back to reality.
And then they're back
it's
to,
like,
yeah,
it's
go.
Like, wait, this is wasting my time. Thank you, Lucas, but things are worse now because of you.
Now I'm further behind.
Back to get a shirt later on.
Yeah.
So, Lucas, it was great talking to you and getting to learn about yourself and just, you know, the different career paths that people can take, and not just following the traditional go to school, get education, graduate, and then here you go, you're an accountant, thumbs up. But really the different ways to go about it, different ways to look at it. And so I got a lot out of the podcast. I really appreciate you coming out, but you know, like we said, you don't do tax. So it's okay that it's early April and
it doesn't matter. I could do it. Yeah. This tax season or the October 15th and September 15th deadlines. I'm always flexible.
Yeah. Well, doing IT for accounting firms, this is our dead season. Like, no.
Oh, yeah.
Believe it or not, nobody's interested in cybersecurity April 1st through 15th.
Oh, like, yeah. I get that. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's like, go away. It's like, but you need it though. And it's like, I don't care. I'd rather die.
Yeah.
That would put me out of my misery. It's like, all right, we'll talk in May.
Yeah, we'll follow up in May, early June. Yeah.
Yeah. Take your time. Go, you know, take care of your clients, and we'll be here when the time is right. But Lucas, again, thanks for being on the show. It was great talking to you. And last reminder, May 14th through 16th in Austin, Texas, we have the Right Now Conference, featuring Mr. Wonderful from Shark Tank, Dr. Radhika Dirks, an AI advisor, entrepreneur, Alan Colton, Darren Root, Roman Kepchick, Deborah Deffer, Jim Buttonow, myself. Some people know me. There's a whole other list of people from the RightWorks team that are going to be speaking there as well. Tons of topics, lots of great education. Get continuing education credits. And that's going to be May 14th through 16th in Austin, Texas. And Lucas, thank you so much for being on the show. It was great talking to you, man.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Tech Talk for Accountants show. Be sure to subscribe if you like the show. And remember, if you would like a complimentary IT audit of your business, go to rushtech.online/podcast to schedule a time with a certified technician who can look over your current IT systems and make recommendations on how to make sure you and your clients are safe.